Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen. Dreams do come true. And I'm so happy and thrilled and delighted today to share with you just one of the most inspiring people I know as part of the Prosperity series, Eric Berglund. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you. It's my great pleasure to be here.
Well, Eric, I wanted you to be here because you steadfastly and devoutly use all the tools that come into your hands and use. And a lot of people think that, I used to think this, or if I met somebody like you, for those of you who don't know, Eric is a visionary, a world-class recording artist, singer, composer, healer, teacher, and there's about 1,000 other things, but you are just, I think the most inspiring thing about you is the way you live your day-to-day life, and it is something that people are just craving, Eric. So I used to think that somebody like you just landed there. You know, you didn't come from the same planet as me. You didn't go through the same tests as me, and you did. And it's very wonderful to share with someone and to hear how you got there from someone whose dreams have come true.
Well, thank you. I want to just say one thing on that. You make me sound special, and I think we're all special. You know, we're all, if you think of God as a metaphor, of water as a metaphor for God, we're all water, and every one of us is like a drop, and no drop of water can be any more God than any other drop. And when we think of someone as like extra special, it's kind of like or more than we are, it's kind of like giving our power away. And it's a real danger for people who are teachers and who are out there to kind of have that, because they're places in the astral to kind of take that, and then you get kind of a high from it. So it's none of it. We don't want to give our power away to other people because we're so incredible, and other people don't want to take from others because then it puts them out of balance as well. And so what's really wonderful is that we all have everything within us. Each one of us is so incredible. We came in with the DNA code, which is just so incredible, but along the way we lost the map and the pattern. And so it's important, and what's just really wonderful is that we're all in this together. So we're all friends, and just like with any friend, we just share what we've known. And like with all the onslaught of information out, it's so hard. We hear this and this and this, but if a friend comes and says, "Hey, I did this and it worked," well, I'm more inclined to take the advice of a friend than from all the things out there. So what's really wonderful is that we can all be friends to each other. And as friends, then we can share, and then we can all enrich what we all have within us. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I want to clarify what I said.
Of course, I exaggerated a little bit to make a point, but I think it's a real point for us to be aware of.
It is, and it's very important. And also, I think it's very important to say to people whose dreams haven't come true, because you are a shining example of that. It's very important. Like, I needed some people to hold up as I was going along that path, as I was learning to not that I'm more of God than anyone else, but reveal more of God than I had been before. And you're revealing your divine blueprint. And that is a gift to everyone around you.
Yeah. Well, you know, everything comes from attention. Whatever we think about, that's what we bring into our lives. If you buy a new car, then all of a sudden you see that car everywhere. When I bought this one car, then I'd see other people with the car. They'd honk at me, I'd honk back at them. But I never even thought of that car before I bought it. And the same thing is true with everything that we bring in our life. We hear again and again how important the heart is. And the heart is what really brings the magic in our life. It's like this incredible battery power that we can use that takes us out of the mundane. There's a place in California, in Boulder, California, called the HeartMath Institute, where they've done a lot of studies on the heart, and they found that there's actually a second brain in the heart. And when most of us know the heart is important, you know, we hear, oh, go to get in your heart and all of this, but we don't really do it. But if you do it, wherever your attention is, that's what you bring in your life. So if you just sit and meditate on your heart 15 minutes a day and just start off by being grateful, you know, just because that opens the door of the heart, then you allow that magic to come in. And the same way you go to a gym to work your muscles, you can work the magic of the heart, and then that's the energy that allows everything else to happen. Everything else is kind of like you direct it here, you direct it with this, with your mind, and so on. But the energy behind it all is the heart.
That is so true.
Yeah. So I highly recommend, if you aren't doing it, at some point during the day, you just sit, put your hands on your knees, because your knees represent surrender. And the heart, according to ancient Taoist texts, has five outgoings of the heart, and that's through the palms of the hand, through the soles of the feet, and then right in the center of the chest where the heart is. And so because the energy from the heart comes through the hands, if you put your hands right on your knees, then you're putting heart energy into that portion of surrender. So you're surrendering your mind, you're surrendering the ego and all these thoughts, oh my goodness, this or that can happen. What I've learned is that our minds are just so incredible. We're always manifesting. We say we want to manifest our dreams. Well, we're always manifesting. Every minute we're manifesting. But what are we manifesting? So the first thing is to clear the mind, and that's by putting the hands on the knees. You'll see a lot of Egyptian statues in this position where they have their hands on their knees. And then by concentrating the heart, it makes a triangle from the heart down with the knees. And then everything is more powerful when you do things in three. And then just by being grateful, and that's like this magic key, opens everything up, and you start with that. But then after a while, you just let the thoughts go, and you just be in the heart. It's sort of what you want to do is have your heart purr like a cat purring. And, yeah. And so the gratitude.
Oh, that does it for me.
Yeah. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. You know, when you know, a cat is purring, it's emitting all these wonderful vibrations. They say that emits prana. Walking barefoot on the sand emits prana. Touching a purring cat emits prana. That's why they were worshipped in ancient Egypt, the cats. So we can do the same thing by connecting with our heart that way.
Did you say it makes prana?
What?
Did you say it makes prana?
Me and my words, forgive me. It doesn't.
No, I didn't catch that word. I just want to.
It doesn't really. I guess more of a clarification is it allows the prana to flow through, because prana just is. But we can source it and have it come through. So it's one of the ways we can access prana. And of course, the other way is the most traditional way, is with our breath. And there's special breathing techniques which access prana, of course. But how simple to just touch a purring cat. That's why you like cats. I know you love cats.
I love cats because they're so excellent. They're so honest. They're so clean. They're so direct. they don't worry. You know, have you ever seen a cat worry about the rent? or whether there's food, or it's like, there is food, you are the staff, bring it now.
You know, I learned something about a cat. You know what a cat does when it doesn't know what to do? If
what?
It's about to worry, whatever?
What?
It licks itself.
Well, does some cleaning, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like if the cat doesn't know whether to go inside or outside, it'll lick itself. if I'm playing with a cat, doesn't know what to do, like, it'll stop, it'll lick itself. So it's cleaning itself, which is the same thing for us. If because inside we're perfect, but we're bombarded with a lot of strange energies on the planet right now. And so the main thing is to constantly clean ourselves, to keep cleaning all the lenses that we look at the world through. And then when we go totally inside, then we'll be like this clear lake, and we'll have all the guidance, all the power, all the love, all the wisdom, anything that we need to manifest what we want in our life. So it's constantly refining and then going within. So we talked about, you said, this is about abundance, right?
Well,
today?
Yes, and I've asked the most abundant people I know to be on it, and that includes to me, and most importantly, maybe, is how do you spend your time? Are you free?
How do you say that again?
To me, one of the most important things about abundance is, A, that the person is fulfilling their dharma and their destiny. They're giving their best gifts to the world. They're doing it in a way that is joyful, and they're using their time, money, and energy to be joyful and free. That is the definition of abundance. And also that every part of every transaction that comes from that person is something that's an upliftment to all life. Like, for instance, I certainly wouldn't have a furrier on, or a trapper. You know what I'm saying? It would be to me, it's, so what, you're a world-class furrier. That does not impress me. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it wouldn't be...
Yeah, yeah, you want to do how I've thought about that is, if you do something that's in harmony with what the earth needs, then there, all the forces of the earth will help you. Angels, masters, they look down. They see, when angels look at the world, they see it as if it's all covered with a smog, and it's just really dark. And then anytime there's like a light that's coming out, they go, wow, there's a light, and they give it all this extra energy. So if you're doing something that really doesn't help the earth, then you have to create it all yourself. And you have to, it's like an uphill battle. But if you do something that wants to be done, then all the energy is there just to support you. So it's wonderful to be within the flows and with the rhythms. And that's another whole thing to just to be so aware of now. The same, we talked about water before, everything comes in waves. And so there's like a wave of energy. And as you come, it's wonderful to be on the wave as the wave comes and as it crests. And then, of course, all of a sudden it goes down and it's over. And we all know that we have certain times in our life when energy, like when we were in kindergarten, we were with certain people and so on. And then we went to school, we were in another wave with other people and other concerns. And then as we grew older, we were in other waves. So part of life is that we go through many different waves. And maybe we find a wave that we just love and it's so beautiful and you go, oh, I just love this wave, I want to hold on and have this wave last forever and ever and ever. But before you know it, the wave is crested and it falls under you and you're just holding nothing. So we have to be able to let go. And there's certain energies that are touching the earth right now, and one of the energies that is touching the earth is the energy of letting go. And so
I noticed that.
yeah, big time, big time. And it's going to increase and increase. And it's coming from from Sirius. Sirius is the energy of letting go. The Earth is like moving through space. It's a star. And now it's coming to the closer to the year 2012 and even further to the year 2020 when even more comes in. And as it comes closer and closer, all these we're being closer to the stars in a different way, and they're touching us in a different way. So this letting go is really powerful. But what's so wonderful in manifesting, whatever we want, whatever our dreams, we only need it in the moment that we need it. We don't need it a moment before, and we don't need a moment after. So because we have all the energy with us, within inside us, within our DNA and who we really are, we can manifest whatever we want as a master right when we need it. And if there are things that we don't need, we can let them go. And if we hold on to too many things and have everything, you know, all around, well, then that doesn't create the space for the new. So as we surf and go from one wave to another wave, it's important at this time to be able to let go. And that's the energy of Sirius. And then the energy of the Pleiades is touching the Earth, and that's the energy that's bringing in new crystallization, new forms, because the way that we've been on the Earth really doesn't work anymore. The Earth is about to turn into a beautiful, incredible cake, is the way I like to think of it. And right now, it's in the oven. We're baking. And so everything, it's intense on the Earth right now. And everything that doesn't belong here and doesn't want to be into this incredible new cake that we're baking for the future has a chance to come up now so it can be healed. So when we look outside and we see things that look terrible or whatever, it's actually wonderful because it's coming up to be healed. When people have a lot of times on the individual level, when you want to heal something, it's deep down inside and you can't even find it. So people have, right before a healing session, they'll have what's called a healing crisis. So this part comes up and says, hey, pay attention to me, now you can heal me. And so the same thing is happening on the Earth, because whether it's the individual or the Earth, everything is all related. So now everything is coming up to be healed, and it's wonderful.
And cleaned up, and I can see, like, there are so many modalities of healing and so many people involved in them now. And there's a great rush of intent to heal all on Earth. Like, one of the things that I've kind of been frustrated with is, like, all of the information that I know of that are things that need to be cleaned up on Earth, they're just intolerable and they're suffering for all life, you know, and I felt a little weighted down with knowing so much of it, and I just started saying that everything I become aware of or touch everything I touch and become aware of is charged with a violet transmuting flame and transmutes itself into an asset for the benefit, happiness, and upliftment of all life everywhere forever. And then you're letting the angels and the ascended masters and the violet flame do the work. And that's the other thing. We have to ask for this divine intervention.
That's wonderful. Absolutely. And that's totally what I'm into as well. I'm calling not only divine intervention, which I've called on for years and years, now I'm calling on the power of evolutionary change.
Woohoo! The power of evolutionary change.
Yeah, isn't that incredible? I just love it. There's a star that represents the power of evolutionary change, and it's in the Great Bear. It's one of the pointer stars. And all you have to do is just think, power of evolutionary change. And I've been giving workshops all over. Recently, we just had a real powerful one in Bucharest in Romania. And there was a woman who came to this workshop. She had cancer, and they left the chemotherapy on her too long, so they had to cut off her arm and her shoulder. And she still was radiating so much that they didn't know what to do with her. My organizer had given her my CDs to play and then had her come. She lived in Transylvania and came to Bucharest. It was you know, it was a large group. I didn't, you know, even see her. She was just in the back somewhere. And we were working on healing radiation for the group, because that's one of the biggest things. There's certain things on the earth now, as it's coming up to be healed. You see, at the time of Atlantis, I believe that there are ancient civilizations on the earth that were on the earth that we're going to discover in the not too distant future. We're really here, and one of them was Atlantis. And before it went down, they did the same things that we're doing now. Everything on the earth now is only a repeat of what's been done before. Yeah. So they had radiation go over the whole earth, and the earth is a living being, and it couldn't stand it. It said, boom, I can't stand this. So it like was just stretched and shook, and then Atlantis, you know, went under the seas to be healed. And that same thing is what we're doing now with the electromagnetic radiation coming from chemtrails, coming from cell phone towers, and just all the electronic smog that we're in. And so I was facilitating the group where we were doing this powerful, powerful energy, calling on the power of evolutionary change, because inside us, we're more powerful than whatever is on the outside. There's no electronic, any little thing that man can make that is more powerful than the all power of God and the all power of that's within each of us. So we called on this tremendous power as a group after building up all the energy, and goosebumps through the whole group and everything. And the next day, she had to see the doctor. And when she went, the doctor said all the radiation was gone.
Yay, God.
Yay, God.
Yay, Eric. Well, thank you for doing that. And
well, we're just sharing these tools that what is so marvelous about this time is that we're discovering ancient tools that we've forgotten, and now we can remember them again because now it's the time to use them again. So I just learn them from other people, and I just share them, you know, and other people are sharing them, and as many of us can know what to do, then it's wonderful. Then all together we can make a huge difference, and we can change the energy that's on this earth.
Yes, and you know, I want to say, even though it's a cake and it's baking, I call for the merciful, swift awakening of everyone involved in that causes distress to life, and that all are now turned to loving, constructive, joyful activities that make retribution to life, and that I am presence of each life stream and life form calls that forth, so that each of us are doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and for all we're worth, because we are in an emergency situation, and I want it to be merciful. I don't want it to be cataclysmic. We've done cataclysmic. It's not fun. And when I look inside at what is God? God is so, like, the only thing I can compare it to is my mother love for my children. And I wouldn't do anything cataclysmic to my children. You know, that is not what I want. I don't want one rose bush to be taken away. I mean, not that I...
But we see that things are being done right now. I mean, that goes to the question, how can God allow evil to be in the world? And as we see, it's happened throughout history, and it's happening right now. I mean, if you were living in Iraq, and there are many places right now where people are living almost in slave conditions and so on, it's happening right now. The thing is that we each one of us is like a creator God, and we've been... There are certain energies that have covered us, so that we're like the incredible light that each one of us is covered with a whole lot of blankets. And so what we have to do is we have to take the blankets off so we can be the light that we are. But it begins with each one of us. You know, when we tend to think that it's outside and we want to help everyone outside, but it happens from within. And when you do yourself, and you do yourself first and the people around you, then it creates an electrical circuit that begins to touch everyone. So we start within. My favorite tool right now that I'm working with is I give you my love, I give you my heart. I receive your love, I receive your heart. And what you do is you just, anyone that you're thinking of, you know, like anyone that you may not get along with, or you can think of a memory, something that just happened, you don't like that memory of what just happened, so you think that memory, or you can think of something that you hear about in the news, or you can, I mean, anything that comes up that can come into your awareness field, and you just imagine your heart and you feel that in front of you, and with, you just say, I give you my love, I give you my heart. And you can say it over and over, and then I receive your love, I receive your heart.
Oh.
And this has changed the most powerful, it is powerful, it changes everything. And I've shared this with many people, we've done it together as a group with hundreds of people, and it's just had a huge impact. I get emails from people who say they've done it, relationships that have completely fallen apart, and they've just done this, and now they gotten together, they have a new life. It's made my own relationship better. It's just, it's extraordinary. I can't recommend this high enough to everyone who hears this.
I recommend doing it with things like voicemails that frustrate you no end. I give you my love, I give you my heart. Well, you know, it's going back to what you said about that's what cats do is clean themselves, and that is the part that we need to do is clean ourselves, the part that believes in the things we see, the part that believes in the illusion, the illusory world, and the appearance. And are you familiar with that book, Zero Limits?
No, I'm not.
Well, it's about, I can't say the name of it. It's called Ho'oponopono or something.
Ho'oponopono, oh, yeah. From Hawaii, right.
Yeah, where
yeah.
You say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you.
Oh, yeah, I love that. You know, there's a story about the fellow who went to an insane asylum and he just said that to everyone there, and then they were all healed.
And in fact, they don't have any criminally insane on that island any longer because he's continued to do that work. And he says, like you just said, it is all inside you, and you clear the part of yourself that believes in that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've really used it for myself on everything that I don't want in my life. You know, when I see something that's cruelty or I hear another thing about what people do to animals, or, you know, somebody told me the other day they still leave little Indian and Chinese babies out in the woods by themselves to die, and especially little girls, because they don't want them. Then it's me cleaning up that part that agrees to that reality, I think.
Yeah.
That, and it's the same thing you're saying. I give you my love, I give you my heart, I receive your love, I receive your heart.
Yeah, that's such an awful thing, but, you know, sometimes it's always nice to know the wonderful things that can happen and stretch our reality, you know, how beautiful things are. There was once a little boy who was put out like that, you know, to die, and it was in China, and there was a big flood, and the whole village was flooded, and most of the people died, and this little baby was raised by the animals, and the animals took care of it, and then a wandering hermit found this child and took it to a monastery. And this little child turned out to be this great master called Master Du, there's a fellow called Dr. Baolin Wu who shares a lot of his teachings and has brought it to the West. And I just found out about the information from it last year and have been applying some of the Qigong from it. This fellow, this master, when he died, he everywhere he'd go, you love animals, he would have eagles and vultures and flying along with him as he walked. Can you imagine that? And animals were with him just all the time. And then when he died, he invited all these people in front of him, at least 100 people, and they were all in front, and then he levitated out of his chair, began to spin, turned into a flash of light, and disappeared.
He ascended through the public ascension.
Yeah. Isn't that marvelous? I mean, we don't have to age. We don't have to, deteriorate. Like you say, it is wonderful when we can see examples of what can be done.
What is his name? Master what?
D-U, Master Du. There's a wonderful book called Qigong for Total Wellness by Dr. Baolin Wu, and you can read all about him and all the wonderful Qigong that he tries. That have you stay young and do all these things. And he has one exercise that I just wanted to share with everyone that is really wonderful, since we haven't talked too much about abundance yet, and that's
Don't worry.
All this is kind of like a background to abundance. But he has one thing that is just so great for abundance. He had this one fellow come to the monastery he was, who was in absolute dire straits and didn't know what to do. So the master told him to do this, and that is that you flick your fingers. So you can start like with your thumb, with your little fingers. You just sort of snap them.
Mm-hmm.
So you snap first your little finger, and then the ring finger, then the middle finger, then the index finger.
Snap them? You mean like pull them or flick them?
Well, it's like flicking, like snapping. So your thumb goes over the nail of the other finger.
Uh-huh.
And so you start with you do it with both hands, thumb to little finger, snap or flick, then to the ring, then to the middle.
And do you hold down the little finger while you're snapping the ring finger? Okay, and then you hold down the others while you're snapping.
No, with this one, no. You just flick it and then you let it go, because this is just step one.
Okay.
Now step two is that you're going to be doing it to your ears. Do you know that there are more nerve endings in the ear than any other sense organ in the body? And we tend to think that our eyes are the main source of, but it's the ears. And we're usually bombarded with sound everywhere we go, yet we were designed to really, to hear. We aren't listening enough. So in the era that's going to come, we're going to be listening more. And these nerve endings, by touching everything in the ear, it touches every part of the body. So what you're going to do is you're going to flick your ears. So with the little finger, when you flick the little finger, you have it at the very top of the ear. Then as you do the ring finger, it's just a little below. And then finally, when you do the index finger, it's at the bottom of the ear. So you're doing both ears together and flicking them. And he told this fella to do that all day, until his ears hurt and they were red and raw. But then all the miracles happened. Everything that he needed came true for him.
Woohoo!
And so we don't have to do it till our, our ears, get bloody. We can just do it a little bit every day. If you do it like 9 times or 11 times, or if you really need something, maybe do it 5-10 minutes, and it'll change everything. It'll make it, it works on the brain, on the blood system. It works on so that you won't get colds. It has, and it'll be touching every part of your inner organs, because by doing this, it's activating the whole body. So it's an extraordinary thing to do. But at the same time, it's bringing you abundance and helping you bring your dreams. Isn't that marvelous?
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And you're full of these things, and you apply them, and you're a living example that they work, Eric.
Yeah.
That was the point I was making in the first place with you.
Yeah, all these things work. One little tool works, and then you apply it, you, you do a couple of them, and then you do everything, and and then all together, it just, you know, all our lives can change, and we can, we were, each one of us has a unique blueprint that's just us, that's our part of the plan. Like the, you could think of the, all the cosmos as a great big jigsaw puzzle, and each one of us is a piece, and every piece is just as, if you're missing a piece, even if it's a sky piece, the whole puzzle doesn't look perfect unless that piece is there. So we each have a unique blueprint, something that we can do that no one else can do. And when we take all the blankets off that I was talking about earlier, and we connect with this, then we allow the God part of us, the divine self, to work through us, then anything can happen. And the main thing with that anything is that blueprint. And then when we do our blueprint, why we came here, and we fulfill our reason for being, then all is well. And here's a wonderful little way to fulfill your blueprint, and that's to keep what I call a magic book.
A magic book? I want one.
Yeah.
Keep a magic book.
Yeah. So I've had, people in some of the workshops where I share, they go out and they buy a whole special notebook with a, you know, fancy cover and everything. They come and show me their wonderful magic books they bought. But you don't, that's fun. But you can just use you can even write on scratch paper. You know, the whole thing is the writing. Very often we have all our dreams, our hopes and our dreams, and we have them in our minds. But if it just stays in the mind, then it just stays a wish. And it just rolls around in there. We have to make it so it's concrete. And there is something magic by writing. As soon as you write, you take it out of the mind and you begin to have it go into the concrete where it can begin to take all the forces that are out there. Because everything that we see outside is only a reflection of what's inside. Have you ever seen the movie Showboat?
I can't. I'm not putting it together with the... with the title, I can't think of it.
Most people haven't seen it, but it's one of my favorites.
Showboat.
You know, it's a real tearjerker, and at the end, every time I watch it, I know the end is coming, and I cry every time. But it's the music in it too. But they have one scene that relates to this that's so powerful. They show there are these old westerns, the westerners like miners, and they're coming and seeing a silent film for the very first time. And they have the villain tie the heroine to the railroad tracks, and the train is coming, and the villain is going, yeah, you know. And,
oh, you do that too good.
Yeah. And then these miners see that, and they go, this is terrible. So they take their guns out, and they shoot the movie screen.
Oh, how wonderful.
And put bullet holes into the screen. And, of course, the thing is, that's a metaphor for what's happening to us. We're watching a screen. That's all that's happening outside, and instead we need to go to the projector, and we have to take the film out, and then we have to even go further back than that. We need to
clean ourselves.
Yeah, we need to get a new director and write a new script and then film it again.
Yeah.
And we can, but we tend to look at the screen that's in our life and try to work with that, and it's the same thing as these miners shooting the film. As silly as that is, it's just as silly for us to work on the outer.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, also with the magic book, you're reminding me.
Oh, yeah. So here, thank you for reminding me what to do with that.
Okay.
So what you want to do is write what you want, and you want to write with the three P's, positive, present, and personal. So because what you're writing for is your own subconscious mind. And with your subconscious mind, what you want to have is... it doesn't recognize a negative. So if you, for example, you want to stop smoking, if you write, I do not smoke, your subconscious will take out the not.
Uh-huh.
So you have to say, you know, you can't say that I don't smoke.
What do you say there?
You can say, boy, I got myself into one there, didn't I?
Well, I imagine
say,
there's a lot of people leaning forward wanting to hear this.
So you say, I only take into my body what's perfect and right for my body.
Yeah, I have healthy and...
I have healthy lungs.
Yes.
I only put in my mouth what's perfect for my mouth. I only breathe in my nostrils what's perfect and right for my nostrils.
Well, and I think there's one you can say, too, that pretty much covers everything, is that I only do what is the highest service.
Yeah, I only do what is the highest good, what's perfect and right for me.
Yeah.
So then going on, it has to be positive, and then it has to be present. If you write future,
I
will have, then it's always going to be in the future. So you have to write like it's already happened or it's happening right now.
Yeah, and it's good to say, I am grateful I have this amount of money.
Yeah.
And I have this financial freedom and I feel free. You know, for me, I got a long time ago that financial freedom wasn't enough for me. I wanted to have that feeling I used to have as a child on the first day of summer, or going to the beach, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, where you feel excited. So when you write in this magic book, you can write like that. You say, wow, I just feel like the first day of spring. I feel like a kid again. It is so wonderful. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I am so alive. My heart is just bursting with joy. Thank you, God. You know, so you write like that. And what was personal. It has to be personal. If you write outside yourself, it'll never happen.
Well, give an example of that. What do you mean?
We say, like you say, there is peace on earth. Well, then there'll never be peace.
Yeah.
I feel so good about the peace that's happening on earth and unfolding. It has to be personal. I feel, my, for the subconscious. And very often, you know, we can hear about some atrocity happening somewhere in the world, and, you know, we think, oh, well, that's too bad, and we let it go. But then if somebody says something horrible to us, we think about it over and over again in our mind. What happens to us personally, you know, affects us. So it has to be personal. So we're just kind of tricking the mind. We can still have what we want and work, but the subconscious works through what's personal.
Well, I don't think of it as tricking the mind as much as I think of it this way. Do you remember when you were, let me just make it personal. When I was a child, my friends and I and my cousins would say, we'd make up this thing. Well, now let's play, I did this and you did this and I'm the mom. And then we'd play it out. And doing the magic book reminds me of there was a John Candy movie about 15 years ago, and he was a guy that was a writer for a soap opera, and he started writing himself in as the hero, and as soon as he would type it, it would become so, and he would get to do all these wonderful bashing things. And I thought, that movie has a lot of light.
That is really wonderful. You know, you read about all the strange things that some people say may happen on Earth, and one is that, you know, we could have robots take over the world. Well, what it makes us so unique above a robot is that we have our imagination. And as long as we use our imagination, then anything can happen. And it's wonderful, and that's what we have to use. And if you look at the system, a lot of the system has been trying to cut down on the imagination. So we want to bring that back. And when you write in this book, then you can make it real. You know,
yeah.
I write in my book, and then things happen exactly the way it's in the book. And then people tell me they've had the same thing happen. I had one person who wanted a center, you know, where she could share all the things that she was learning. So she wrote all this in her magic book, and she got this incredible center.
Woohoo!
It was just amazing. And again, people have told me of the wonderful things they've got. So anything that you don't like, you write just the opposite. So, like, if you're worried about the future, you're worried about this or that, then you say, wow, it's so easy. For example, I was really worried about the coming changes. So then I would write, wow, I am fully prepared for all the changes in my life. I love and welcome change because it is always for my highest good. Every change makes me better and better. Every day my life just gets better and better. I love what I do. The right things happen. I meet the right people in the way at the right time. And you just write like this, and it is so perfect, and it just brings everything into your life. I have a CD called Creating Abundance and another one called Creating Healing, which are like examples, which are really wonderful. They've created many miracles for people who've listened to them. But you can take like phrases that are, if it's hard to imagine how this works, if you listen to one of these CDs, then you hear it, and then you can write your own, whatever is perfect for you. And I'm just about to do another one called Creating Paradise.
Woo!
Which will be, because I feel there's so much negativity out for like predictions of the future and so on, and then, but we can all create paradise for ourselves, and then through ourselves for the earth. So
well,
that's what I feel is real important to do next.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. That's what I'm creating. I'm creating paradise. That's what I'm interested in. That's what I want for all life. And
yes.
I want 20 copies of that. And I also wanted to say I really recommend your Creating Abundance and Creating Healing. And I am a living example that those things work. And I wanted to say something about saying things personal and present and the way you want them. One time I was concerned about my health, so I said, I am rejoicing and giving thanks that I am perfectly healthy and feeling great now and always, and I am. And I really want to stress that is, no, that's not a good word, stress.
Emphasize.
Yeah, thank you. I think conscious language is real important. And I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned a book about St. Clair. And
yeah, I did that right before
we began
the interview. We spoke for a minute, and I mentioned a book called Zen of Stars, The Future of Planet Earth by St. Clair. Yeah, I'm reading that now, and you know, whatever you read, you're just so inspired by. And he talks about some of the negative things that can be coming to the Earth, but also gives things that you can do to help change it. And that's really wonderful. So, and I think that it's very good to know what the possibilities are out there and what might be happening. If we have our head in the sand, then when you have awareness, then you can begin to work to change things. So I feel it's real important.
Yeah. Well, also, I think it's real important to write in our magic book, you know, like I write in mine. And then everybody woke up and started doing what truly was of service to all life.
But then again, you can't write that way because that's outside yourself again. So you say, I feel so good that everybody is.
Finally awake now and doing
that. Everyone is awake, yeah. I feel so good that everyone is waking up. You have to keep taking it back to yourself, because as long as you have it outside yourself, I mean, it's such a subtle thing, but, you know, it's there.
And besides, you can't tell if you're speaking for everybody else.
Yeah.
Well,
and you know, again, we don't always know what's best for another person. You know, we're looking from a limited viewpoint, and sometimes someone has to go through something in order to really get it. And if we come along and say abracadabra perfect, I mean, God could do that. You know, he could say abracadabra all perfect, but then we wouldn't grow. And we're here to grow. This earth is a schoolroom, and the whole point of being on earth is that when we leave the life after being here, they say, well, how did you grow? How are you a better person for having had this life on earth? And so we have to grow. And if we go bam, everybody perfect, well, then we've lost the growth and why we came here in the first place.
I wanted to ask you about this book again. It's about St. Clair. It's called The Zen of Stars. And then, who is it by?
St. Clair.
Oh, it's by St. Clair.
Yeah.
So I would just, could I get it from...
I think you can get it on Amazon.
Okay. Thank you.
And the other book that I mentioned was Qigong. Qigong for Total Wellness by Dr. Baolin Wu. And that...
how do you spell it?
B-A-O-L-I-N-W-U. and that gives you wonderful exercises that you can do.
I love Qigong.
Yeah. Oh, and this is just the cream. Well, there are many other Qigongs that I love that are really wonderful too, but this one is just really excellent.
Can you get a DVD of the exercises?
Not yet. Maybe there will at one point, because I love going through DVDs. It makes it so much easier, and I use some other ones that are done, and this one isn't. But it's put out so nicely that it's easy enough to follow. Or you can come to one of my workshops, and we'll do them. I'm giving, usually there isn't time to do all this in a workshop, but I'm giving two retreats in Europe this summer that are week-long retreats, one in Italy with German translation and one in France in the Pyrenees Mountains. I gave the one in France last year too, and it is extraordinary. You're in this kind of medieval castle, and all around you are mountains everywhere you look, and it's just the most ideal place for retreat that I could imagine. And and the Italy one is going to be absolutely beautiful too. I just haven't been there yet. So it's in Tuscany, which is very beautiful, and right by a forest and near Mount Sebastio. So if you want to have more time and learn things, you can always go to my website and see where I am.
Well, tell people how they can.
And it's www.ericberglund.com. And Eric is with a K, E-R-I-K-B-E-R-G-O-U-N-D. Now, I know we don't have too much time left, but I wanted to share one other thing that I feel is real important, because in the days that are to come, there might be, we might have emergencies come up and have different things. And I was in an emergency this last year. I was in Dubai, and I had just, I'd earlier been in Dubai, and I was coming back from South Africa and Sri Lanka, and the plane stopped in Dubai, and there was a plane crash, and the whole airport was shut down, and it was absolutely pandemonium, like the end of the earth. And they didn't know what to do, so it was just crowds and pushing and anger and this and that. And I had to get to New York City, where I was going to be giving a program, and I finally got in all the lines where I was supposed to be, and I heard the people in front of me were all, that they were putting them on planes that would have gotten there after my performance and workshop. So I started to sing to the angels. I said, "Angels, help me catch our plane. Help us move in perfect time. Free all blocks and set us free. Yafata now is our rhyme." And I would just sing this over and over, calling on the angels.
What was the last line?
The last line, well, I said, "Yafata now is our rhyme." Yafata is that's another whole thing. Yafata is Arabic, Aramaic, and Hebrew for the opener. And
Yafata.
Yeah. And when you say Yafata, it opens up blocks. It's like
Woo-hoo!
It's like saying open sesame.
Woo-hoo!
You put your hands on your heart and you go Yah, and then you take your hands out and opening them Fata. And I have all the groups go Yafata, Yafata. I learned this from the Sufis. And everyone starts smiling and laughing, and the same way that we smile and laugh, it opens up energy. So I've been in like airports where, you know, I've had too much luggage and everything, and they say, "Oh, you're going to have to pay all this extra," and then I go, "Yes," in my mind. You can do it, you know, of course, out loud, which is great, but you can also just do everything in your head silently. So I go, "Yafata, Yafata," and they say, "Oh, no problem." And I've shared this with so many people. I had friends from Japan that wanted to see the dolphins. They went to Hawaii, but there were no dolphins, so they all went Yafata, and the dolphins came. it's like a magic word that you can say whenever you have a block that's in front of you. You just say Yafata over and over.
Eric, can you come back soon? Could you be on towards the end of the month, like the 28th maybe?
Sure, I could.
Because we have to go now.
Oh, okay.
I feel like we didn't even get warmed up, that you have so many things to give people. I want to remind people to...
Do. Well, can I just say the end of the story?
Yeah.
So then after singing the song, I got to have everything worked out. They gave me a plane, and I before I got to go on the plane, I got to go into a fancy hotel in Dubai next to the largest building in the world, and just be there. I got to ride with people from Iran on both ways and have a beautiful heart-to-heart talk with an American, with Iranians. It was just wonderful. I got to New York City in time for my performance. Everything worked out wonderful. I was in New York City under 24 hours, but it all worked perfectly. So the moral is that no matter how horrible things look on the illusion, on that screen of life that's outside you, you can, like, call on the angels. And especially if you do something in rhyme where you're creative, because creativity begins to move the mind as soon as you become creative with something. And then you call on the angels, and then you can have miracles happen. I had other friends who were with me, and they were stuck in the airport for days.
Oh, Eric, well, thank you for being with us. Thank you for all of your wonderful tools. I would urge people to listen to this again because you gave so many things. I'm certainly going to do the ear flicking. I'm going to do the Qigong thing. I'm going to get this Keep a Magic book. I'm going to... And I just thank you. And I want to say to people, we'll have Eric back soon. Thank you for listening. God bless you, and may all your dreams come true and be 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Our men, our women, our children, our animals. Yafata.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's add Yafata today. Yafata.
Yafata. Thank you. God bless you.